In our Bible study today, we are going to look at Genesis chapter 12. Now, as you come into this chapter, we commence the history of a chosen man and his descendants. The man's name is Abram, afterwards changed to Abraham. This man was separated from the rest of the human race, who were now rapidly sinking into idolatry, and he with the nation that sprang from him were blessed by God in order that ultimately they might be a blessing to all nations. Spiritually, this is brought about through Jesus Christ, who came in the line of descent from Abraham. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 1. Then through him the gospel of the grace of God is now preached to all people. In an actual material sense, this blessing will be manifested in the coming millennial kingdom, when the nation blessed by God will be the head of the nations, and through that nation, blessing will flow out to all the other nations. Now let us read a few verses from Genesis chapter 12. We'll read the first 10 verses. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls they had gotten in Haran. They went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. There was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. I trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we again approach thee in the attitude of prayer. We give thee thanks for the multitude of the blessings thou dost lavish upon us. But now as we turn to thy word, we would ask of thee that by thy Holy Spirit thou wilt enable us to understand and take in the lesson from this chapter. Bless every listener at this time for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, as you study this chapter, I suggest that in these verses we have read, we should consider the call that Abram heard. And then, verses 2 and 3, the covenant he obtained. Verses 4 through 10, the course he took. Later on, verses 11 and 16, you'll read concerning the cowardly compromise that he planned. Verses 17 through 20, the censure he received. Now, when you think of the call that he heard, notice it was a call to separation in verse 1. It meant separation from country and kindred and his father's house. Now please note, God gives no reason for this call. God does not enter into discussion about it with Abraham. But rather, God gives his promises, and he expects obedience. This obedience simply means taking God at his word and asking no questions. It is always best to obey God in all matters. When you come over again to the great chapter in the New Testament that deals with faith, it is very interesting that it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. So that proves to us right here that when the call came to Abraham, God didn't argue with Abraham. He didn't try to reason with Abraham. It simply says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham. Now that throws you back into what you have been studying in chapters 10 and 11. It was while Abraham was down in Ur of the Chaldees, according to what is said in Acts chapter 7. While Abraham was in Ur of the Chaldees, it was there that the God of glory appeared to him and called him. He was living at that time in a very modern civilization of its time, with all its amenities, but surrounded by idolatry. And in the midst of an idolatrous people, the God of glory appeared to Abraham and called Abraham. Now notice the threefold call again. He was to separate from country and kindred and his father's house. Now it is perfectly true that when he left there, he did leave his country, but you did notice perhaps as we were reading at the end of chapter 11 that his father came with him and some of his relatives came with him, and that didn't prove at all helpful for the simple reason he didn't enter into the promised land until after his father had died. He only came part of the journey, and they took up residence in the place called Haran. And only after the death of his father did he move on and come into the land that God had told him about. So therefore he came, and ultimately we find here at the beginning of chapter 12 that he's into the land that God would show him. It's always best then to obey God in all matters. Ask no questions, but simply put your hand in God's hand and step out in faith. Verses 2 and 3 deal with the covenant he obtained. Now note that in this covenant it is God who says, I will. Notice how often God says, I will. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You see, it's God who says, I will, I will, I will. Now, if God says he will, you can rest assured he'll carry out what he promises. First of all, there was the promise of a national blessing. I will make of thee a great nation. In chapters 10 and 11, do you remember? Men said they were going to make a great name for themselves. They were going to establish a great nation. They were going to establish a city with a great central tower. Make a name for themselves. No, says God, Abram, I will make of thee a great nation. Here's the promise of national blessing. And he says, and I will bless thee. Here is the promise of a personal blessing. Then there is the promise of a family blessing, and will make thy name great. Man says, let us make us a name, and it failed. God said, Abram, I'll make your name great. And he changed later on Abram's name to Abraham, and surely the name of Abraham has become a great name. So therefore he promised him a family blessing, make his name great. But he also promised him a universal blessing, in thee shall all families be blessed. Now, my friend, here is a man then who becomes a new spearhead in God's workings for the blessing of the human race. These blessings are promised to Abraham. Here is the covenant he obtained. And it's God who makes the covenant, it's God who signs the covenant, and Abraham just accepts it and enters into it. Now remember, Abraham never lived to see the national blessing. Abraham was dead before ever the nation came into existence that would spring from him. Nevertheless, he accepted the promise. He did see the personal blessing, but he never saw the universal blessing. And so therefore, while he never saw the main parts of the blessing, he did enjoy the personal blessing, but these other things are yet future, and Abraham will yet see these things brought to pass when there will be the universal blessing that came not from Isaac his son, but from the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down through that line. He was the one in whom all families of the earth would be blessed. But now, after you study a little concerning the covenant he obtained, it's interesting to notice the course that he took. Notice now the territory he entered. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And he came, according to verse 5, at the end of verse 5, they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. This is the land of promised blessing. No matter how much men may argue about it, and fight about it, this is the territory that God promised to Abraham. It's the territory that will yet be owned by the descendants of Abraham. It is the land of the promised blessing. And into that land he came. But there was a certain truth he had to experience, because it distinctly says at the end of verse 6, and the Canaanite was then in the land. In plain words, the people who would become his enemies. Now you will remember what I pointed out when dealing with the previous chapter. It's in chapters 10 and 11 that we learn something about how the human race developed from the sons of Noah. And we learn something concerning those that would descend from the line of Ham. And one of them was Canaan. Now here you find these descendants of Ham possessing this land. They will become the sworn enemies of Abraham and his descendants. So he had to learn this truth, that the land of promise was then occupied by those who would become his enemies. But then there is the testimony he expressed. Verse 7 says, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. If you take note with this, you'll find that Abraham, in his life and testimony, was a builder of altars. He knew how to build an altar. Perhaps you recall that when I made some references to Noah, after the flood, when Noah came out of the ark, the first thing that Noah did was he built an altar. And as he built his altar, it was a testimony to the fact that he was offering something to God. Here Abraham comes in to a strange land, and there the first thing almost you find him doing is this, he built an altar. Now, he built his altar unto the Lord. The people around him would notice then that he was a religious man. They would see him performing this little religious ceremony, building an altar and making an offering to his God. Now, if these people had approached him and asked him who his God was, he would be able to tell them. See, they didn't know God. These people were idolaters. They knew nothing about the eternal living God, the great Jehovah. And so here he erected an altar, and his altar was unto the Lord. He was a worshipper of the great Jehovah, the one who appeared unto him, the God of glory. And so there he built an altar. May I suggest to all our hearts, it's a good thing in life when we're able to have a public testimony for our God. In plain words, if I may use this expression and apply it in a practical way, when we bear our testimony, it's like raising an altar to the Lord. But not only did he raise his altar, he pitched his tent. For verse 8 says, "And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent." Now remember, Abraham had come from a land where he had a house. It was a kind of established type of life. But now he had changed his whole kind of living. You find him now a tent dweller. You know, a tent dweller doesn't have any political power in a country. A tent dweller is one who's here today and gone tomorrow. He may pitch his tent tonight, and he may draw it up and fold it up and pass on tomorrow. And so Abraham, from this day onward to the end of his days, is going to be a tent dweller. Plain words, just a stranger, just a pilgrim. You know, that's exactly what Christians are in this world today. We may not always look like that, but the Christian should learn this, that in this world, he is just a pilgrim and a stranger. He's a stranger because he's away from home. And he's a pilgrim because he's going home. So Abraham had a tent, and the tent was erected. But notice he pitched his tent between Bethel and Ai. On the one side he had Ai, a heap of ruins. On the other side he had Bethel, which means the house of God. That's exactly where we stand today. On the one side we see a heap of ruins, this old world of ours in ruins. But as we look to the other side, Bethel, the house of God, the place of order. Notice the trust he exercised. When he got there, again, he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Here is the trust that he exercised, called upon the name of the Lord. You know, this is a Bible principle found over and over again. And in the New Testament we read that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder if all my listeners today know anything at all about calling upon the name of the Lord. Friend, have you ever called upon the name of the Lord for salvation? Remember, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you have called upon him for salvation, do you call upon the Lord daily for direction? Do you? Now notice the test he encountered. There was a famine in the land. When this test came upon Abraham, we should note this, the direction he faced. He was already facing toward Egypt. The decision he made, he went down to Egypt, but of course, just for a time, he was only going down to sojourn. The difficulties he anticipated, how would he be accepted and treated? You know, when the test comes, sometimes we make mistakes. A famine in the land of promise is a time of testing. Yet Abraham went down into Egypt. He should have stayed where he was. and trusted God in the time of difficulty. It's all right trusting God in the time of prosperity, but it's a big test, you know, when times of adversity comes. That's when our faith is put to the test. And Abraham here was facing already towards Egypt, so off he went, and he went towards Egypt. However, we should never run away from God, even when we're facing difficulties. But he was wondering how he would be accepted. It says in verse 11, that it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, "Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, 'This is his wife.' They will kill me, but they will save thee alive." How small can some people become? How weak strong men can be? How bad some so-called good people can be? He was a man that perhaps you looked upon as a great man, and he became a great man, but at that time he was very small, didn't stand big at all. And then notice what he was prepared to do. He was prepared to sacrifice, as it were, his wife. He acted without praying. He feared the ungodly. He played the coward. He planned his own course. He tampered with the truth. And he exposed Sarah to grave danger, all because of the fear of man. Abram found himself caught in a snare. Verses 17 through 20 are very interesting because they set before us the censure he received. The question is asked, "What is this that was done?" Because the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? What is this thou hast done?" Remember, he went down to Egypt. He was enriched with Egypt's goods. He was entangled with Egypt's manners. Oh, he may have become rich, but it dragged him down in a net, and he adopted Egypt's manners. He was exposed in his sin and shame, ultimately expelled from Egypt by its ruler. Abraham brought plagues on Pharaoh, shame and humiliation on himself, distress and worry upon Sarah, his wife. May I suggest, Abraham had to learn three important lessons. Lesson number one, God's presence is essential in all our movements. If God says stay, you stay. If God says move, you move. Only when God gives the marching orders do you march. You must have God's presence in all your movements. You must have God's power, for God's power can provide in the midst of famine. He knows how to provide. He provided for Elijah in the time of famine, can provide for us. He had to learn again that God's promises are established on his own faithfulness. Not on our faithfulness, but on God's faithfulness. I'm sure Abraham learned these lessons and learned them well. In our next study, we shall continue in the life of Abraham from the next chapter.